Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories.
Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm Tom.
And I'm John.
And we have something fun this week. It's nice to be starting to get back to actual stories and stop talking about riots. And I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. Talking about riots and 17-year-olds that John Wick, group of Antifa protesters, is fun. But we need to get away from it anyway. I like the stories.
Yeah.
And something we've been promising for a while, we have our firefighters taking over. And if we're going to have firefighters take over, I thought I'd bring someone special. Say hi, Nick.
Hey, Tom.
Nick's an old friend of mine. And Nick, you brought with you Steve.
And say hi, fellas. Steve.
So there are two firefighters, and let's just leave it at they work for a firefighting agency somewhere in Southern California. It's separate agencies, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we should get a whole plethora of firefighters taking over in this episode. We're going to do a two-parter. I think that's probably going to take. This is probably going to take a little while.
Yeah, I think so. But I think people have been asking for paramedics, fire. Veterans, everything but police. People are just tired of hearing about the cops.
Yeah, well, I kind of am too. I mean,
yeah,
it's because everything they say is bad.
True. Very, very true.
So before we get into that, and maybe you guys can help out with this too, we got an email from Jesse, and Jesse said, "Hey guys, a few weeks ago I came across your episode about going to the VA and getting help. I was blown away by how much I could relate and have been an avid listener ever since. I'm an Army infantry veteran with one deployment to Afghanistan. I re-listened to episode 12 and have thought of a question. Have you guys overcome your traumatic events, or do you just learn how to live with them? I've been out for 5 years, but still battle demons daily. Thank you for not only what you do, but what you have done, your friend Jesse." So I asked him if he was okay with us answering this on the show, because I think this is a pretty big question.
So, I think we should let our guests answer this.
I was going to say, that's a fantastic question.
I'm
going
to throw this question to Nick and Steve, because you guys have seen some hairball traumatic shit. And as a way of introducing you to Nick, for those of you who remember the wood chipper episode, the infamous wood chipper episode, Nick worked at that station when other firefighter Nick took that call and was there when other firefighter Nick came back from it. So he got to see the the after effects of going to see strawberry cheesecake get made.
Yeah, I saw. These guys came back with a look on their face howling. And I couldn't believe what they had just seen. So yeah, we talked about that for quite a
while. I'll bet. So you guys have seen your fair share of stuff. What do you think about? Do you get over it?
Yeah, I'd say. Well, Jamie, is that his name? Thank you,
Jesse.
Jesse, thank you for your service. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, I kind of see it. You know, it's yeah. You get. I mean, I get over it. I've seen some dramatic stuff, and you just kind of file it away. You know, like the ones that get me are the kids. There's one particular incident that gets to me. You know, but again, like nothing I could have done about it. So.
Is he specifically asking in the question if it just goes, like if it just goes away?
I think what he's saying is, do you ever?
I'm going to say no.
Get over it.
I'm going.
And
no.
I'm going to go with no. You
I'm
don't
going no.
Get over it.
You lock that away, because I'll tell you, there's a kind of an example. We just had gone on vacation with another family. Husband's a teacher, wife's a teacher, my wife's a teacher. Have the same age kids. Everybody's gone, and everyone's kind of gone. And him and his oldest daughter were all cooking dinner, and he goes, "Hey, dude, tell me some stories. I mean, tell me some really good stories. But you know, what do you got?" And now I'm like, "Oh, I'll tell you some stories." But he's like, "No, I want some really bad ones." And I'll tell you that anytime anybody asks that question, it's a little kind of frustrating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're asking you to go to some places that you don't necessarily want to go because you have that shit locked way in the back. Mm-hmm. And the ones when they ask you, they're like, "No, give me some really juicy ones," because you know what your juicy stories are, right? Mm-hmm. You know the ones that you would tell your buddies in a bar when it first happened.
Right.
But now it's been 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to bring that shit back up.
No. You say it over drinks.
Totally.
You get it out. And then you lock it up.
And my wife always, she looks at me, and there was an occasion where she's like, "Oh yeah, tell him that one story about the kid." And I'm like, "What are you doing? I don't want to, I don't want to tell that story." And every time I bring that story up, it brings back these emotions of, you know,
thanks for
pissed,
giving me that paper cut and while I'm at it, let's pour lemon juice on it. Right.
So you just, exactly. You just tuck it away and you know, you just save it for an occasion like this where you're talking to some buddies. But I'm not a circus clown. I don't like that. "Hey, man, tell me.
Dance,
like,
monkey, dance.
Right. I don't like that. You know? So it's different. It's different for everybody, you know? Like, he may tuck it away and just be like, "Well, fuck, I didn't. It wasn't my fault," which is not. It's not. It's nobody's fault.
No.
We're not. We didn't start it. We're there to fix it. But some guys, you know, we've had some guys leave the job because of that, because they can't find a way to bring it on, you know, bring reality to it. They drink it away, or you know, like the best of guys I know, they're like, "You know what? I had a problem. It would come up and I'd drink."
Yeah.
Or I would get angry with the kids, or I go, you know, do whatever. And it's like, I never would have known that about
you. Yeah, you have two speeds, work and come home and medicate with alcohol and stare at the TV and not. Why do you think cops' kids are so misbehaved?
Yeah.
They don't want to do police work when they get home.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
I think we all lock it away. There's a lot of how much do you process it when it happens, right?
Yeah.
And how healthy kind of your mindset is to begin with is a big part of it.
Yeah.
But then we all lock it away. We you know, there's stories, you know, it's funny, I joke around that movies when I was a kid didn't really have an emotional effect on me. And then after I became a cop, all of a sudden movies had an emotional impact on me. And I was talking to, we had a guest on, Mark Sergio. I was mentioning to him at one point that, you know, I can cry easier at movies, not in real life. Like somebody dies or something
totally
happening, I'm like, okay, you know.
What's it, The Lion King?
Right. But
Old Yeller.
Oh, God, Old Yeller. If Old Yeller doesn't get you, you have no soul.
It's funny.
But there's, it's almost like it's a safe way for you to let things leak out because it's socially acceptable for you to get misty-eyed at a sweet movie as opposed to you don't actually want to tap in. You don't actually want to take those emotions and associate them with the things that they actually go with.
Totally.
You'd rather keep it separate. So I think, Jesse, it doesn't go away.
No,
Think if you...
But if he's using the terminology like battling demons, you know, and it's often, you know, make sure you have a good support system. I know we've talked about it a lot on the show, like reaching out and, you know, therapy and things like that. Those things help. I've said it a few times.
Yeah.
You know, I went for a long time. I still go.
I think the difference with Jesse, though, those are his pals.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
We see strangers
in
shitty situations. Not our buddies.
Right. And that, I guess you're right when you pick up on that phrase. It depends on what level of battling are you talking about.
I mean, I've been there, done that on that side of things. So, that's why, you know, I feel bad for forgetting his name. I had just spoken to, someone that hit us up, in our direct message, and I had called him because he was having issues with a guy he worked with. His son had just come back from deployment. And then his son is different and completely isolated and doesn't want to talk to anybody. Well, the guy that reached out, he was deployed. He's doing his own thing and he has his own problems. And so I gave him my phone number and he called and we talked for about an hour on the phone. And I am no therapist or psychiatrist or, you know, I could just tell him my experiences and then the things that I did to overcome some issues that I've had. And, you know, and in the end, really all it was talking, That's really all it was. And it wasn't, well, substance abuse is not the answer.
No.
No. For, but, you know, people go there and people get out of it. But therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is therapy.
This is therapy. We hate to admit it. This is therapy.
I think talking to a guy that's been there, done that.
Yes.
Is huge.
Yeah.
You talk to someone that's going to give you lips. It's like you talk to a guy that's never been there, never done that.
No.
They're not going to.
So I always talk about this, and this is one of the reasons why the show started. We told the story many times. We would get together to do a different podcast, and we'd all end up swapping stories.
War stories.
And one of the guys who had been on the show was not on a particular episode with all of our veteran friends and stuff like that, and he was listening to that segment, and he's like, that's just, dude, that's the stuff I love. You just need to do that. And it kind of, you know, evolved from there. But it's the idea of, and I've said this, you're sitting there telling somebody's story, and you say, somebody asks you, tell me a really good one. And I'm right. like, oh, if you want me to,
yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
But I'm going to enjoy the moment I watch your face turn.
Oh, totally.
And you go, oh, my God, I'm sorry I asked. How do I get him to stop?
How do I unhear
this?
How
do I make him stop? Mm-hmm. How do I get, you know, there is a moment where somebody goes, have you, you know, like that dumb fucking question that every veteran gets from some fucking chode back at home when they find out he was deployed or she was deployed. Did you kill anybody?
All right.
How the fuck do you answer that question?
Right.
That's the fucking dumb. For if you know anybody who's a veteran or you meet somebody who's a veteran and they tell you they're deployed, don't fucking ask that question. That's right. That's the stupidest fucking thing you can ask. But anyway, there is a moment where you're telling people stories and they're civilians, they're normal people, you know, and you're going to laugh or you're going to chuckle or you're going to smile or your eyes are going to light up. And they're going to, as you tell these horrible things, and there's going to be this revulsion that washes over their face of like, oh my God, this is way worse than I thought. And I don't, and you can just laugh and go, I told you, bitch.
Well, how'd that play out?
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of deferred. I went to the more mild stuff, you know, kind of the funnier stuff. Because we have some, you know, what we consider funny, you know, us, all four of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other people don't consider funny, right? But we're there to do a job, right? I mean, that's what. So I kind of deferred to some easier, more mellow one. Because I'm in the room also with his 15-year-old daughter, too.
Right.
Which I didn't want to tell, you know, the actual story to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never did it. I was actually going to tell him the next morning when we went riding, but I didn't. He didn't bring it up. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm not going to, I won't say it.
Usually you can throw him a bone and you can tell when that's kind of
right.
off color. And they're like, yeah. And they're like,
oh, you did that. Oh, my God.
Okay, wait. You just reminded me of something. And I'm so happy you guys are here because I've been wanting to ask this question for.
Cat in a tree.
No. Okay.
Yes, we stood in the right line.
Okay. Is this a common.
No, I just.
So is this a common. I guess saying or like a common cue that firefighters give when they're giving CPR. And this is what it is. I've seen this two times now.
There you go.
Where and a lot of times in San, and a lot of times in San Fernando, we get there first. Cause we go to medical calls too. So we're, you know, we start on the CPR and da 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 whatever.
Two you guys times. Do a great job of blocking the streets for us too.
Dude, fuck it.
Park too long.
Fuck it. Just oh, ram them. We need new cars. Just get them out.
I want to see where this is going to go right here. I'm kind of curious where he's going with this.
I've heard it two times from two different guys.
Yeah.
While they're doing, we're probably about 30 minutes in, and they go, it's getting cold in here.
No.
In front of everybody.
No. I've never heard that.
Never heard
really?
No. Never heard it.
Two times from two different people now.
Yeah.
And I was like, this got to be a thing. It's got to be a thing, and I want to know about it.
No.
Maybe it's a local thing.
You know, it's that same thing. Local. Not to interrupt, but you know how you watch a sitcom or something, and they close the back of the ambulance door, and the last thing everybody does is they go, you know, they tap the ambulance.
Right.
That never happens. I've done it a few times as a joke,
right?
You know, but I'm like, that never happens.
Well, it's the same thing for me. We would joke when I was working NARCS, the key phrase we'd be interviewing somebody, and inevitably my partner would walk up to him and just go, "You sick son of a bitch!" Because it's Law and Order, every person they arrest on Law and Order, he's like, that sick son of a bitch. You sick son of a bitch. You don't call somebody a sick son of a bitch.
No. I'm going to start doing that now.
I know, right?
Like, you sick son.
You
he's like,
sick son of a bitch. But you have to say it like super, you sick son of a bitch.
Which is awesome, right? And then everybody laughs because they know what it's for. Everybody else is like, what are you guys talking about?
We would do it in the office at that point. Like, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go grab some coffee. You sick son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know.
But, well, Yeah, all right. I just thought I thought it was going to be awesome and it was going to be some cool story. But
I mean, we can make one up. I've never.
You guys do have your own language, so if we, I'll have you butt in, even if I know what you're saying, to explain, because the audience, they love the jargon, but half the time they're like, "What the, you know?"
It's the same. It's the same everywhere.
So, well, you guys have free reign to take over. I will say that I want to open with the fact that I want to hear more about other Nick's face when he came back from the wood chipper incident. But more importantly, as we were discussing that before we turned on the microphones, Steve told us an amazing fact.
He's seen him multiple.
You apparently are multiple. The king of wood chippers.
No, I'm sure there's more than myself, but yeah, I've seen probably four of them.
What?
And I'll tell you what, from two different fire agencies, because I worked for three different fire agencies before I landed at the one I'm at now.
Wow.
Three of them were from an agency that lies between LA County and Santa Barbara County.
Okay.
Kind of give you a little hint of where that is. We had three of them when I was there. And I was only on one of them.
Well, they have beautiful trees there.
That's true. Eucalyptus. It's crazy. Right. And the first one that I ever remember being involved with was I was working on a truck company, which is the big hook and ladder company for you guys that don't know. And the engine had gone on a run up in the sticks area, you know. And they came back and tell us a story, and I'm like, what just happened? They're like, hamburger. I'm like, really? He's like, the only way I can describe it is hamburger.
Yeah.
And he goes, the only thing that survived the actual chipper was the dude's ring finger and the tip of his pointer finger, and that's how they knew it was actually a human being.
Just
the whole thing went through the chipper. A whole person went through the chipper, one of the workers. And in multiple occasions, it's usually their clothes that get caught in the chipper. They can't stop, right? And it goes in. And his fingers were the only thing on all three of them. There were fingers. That was the crazy, right? Crazy.
I mean, so the
crazy.
Nick said the only thing that survived was part of the helmet and part of the fabric of his clothing.
Oh, I could see that too.
Like the plastic, you know, helmet was like a little chewed up, and you could see that it was a piece of a helmet.
Yeah, but it goes through just like
I hope. You know, God forbid I ever go in, or if you ever,
you'll never
anybody.
Know.
Head first.
Totally.
Head first.
Totally.
Fucking totally. Head first. It's like Yellowstone. It's like those pools at Yellowstone that dumb fucks fall into every year or jump into. There's a guy jumped into one to save his dog, right?
And if you don't know the hot springs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't know anything about Yellowstone's like a national park on top of a super volcano.
Yeah.
And these beautiful pools, they're blue and orange and green and yellow.
And
but they're also
hot.
Scalding hot, like hundreds and hundreds of degrees. And acidic as fuck because it's all like sulfur and
so the dog was boiled in a matter of seconds.
So the dog jumped in and the guy goes, oh no, and he jumps in to save the dog. And there is no rescue protocol at Yellowstone if you fall into those pools because there's no rescue. You die in seconds. And then dissolve. So
right.
So there's nothing even left of the body afterwards?
I guess not. There's nothing to recover.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't like
another reason not to go in there.
Maybe they don't have the claw game to go scoop the bones out.
Yeah. You guys been up to Mammoth area? Where they have the hot springs up there?
Yeah.
So we were at the hot springs over the summer, and there's gates. You used to be able to go in there, you used to be able to fish in there, be able to, you know. And there's the gates. Guys will walk a mile out of their way to go around the gate, and then they'll just kind of wade in that little nice clear blue water, you know, and come down the hot springs. And there's a reason there's a gate, right? I mean, that keeps us employed, number one.
Sure.
But number two, it's like, dude, there's a gate. You're going to go drink beers right next to the hot springs because it's great, right? What a view.
Yeah.
And my kids are like, what the hell are they doing, Dad? I'm like, stupid.
They don't
just
know.
Being stupid.
I mean, because there are plenty of places where
you can go. They know. Trust me. They know. They just don't care. It's not going to happen to me.
That's true.
And I mean, if there's one thing that people can tell firemen, people say, it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
I guarantee it'll happen to you.
So you've seen four. Would you?
I've seen three and been involved with what I was working on at the same station that got back for one. So
that you had the same kind of they came back.
Yes.
And then
yes.
So like was it did he
the ambulance pulls back in and you can see this look of like and he wanted to tell the story so bad.
I bet.
He's like, you're not gonna believe what we just saw. Well, yeah, what? Dude, this dude went through a wood chipper. Like the whole person went through the wood chipper? Yeah, the whole person. And, of course, we ask all the same questions you're asking.
What did it look like?
What did it look like? What was left?
Is it still
whether,
there?
Whether people,
can we go look at
whether,
it?
Whether,
that's another way.
Were there other people around? Like, were his buddies there? Like, how did this guy end up in that wood chipper?
The guys actually took pictures of ours. Well, that was, now this is also, well, this is 20 years, oh, this dude is 20 years ago.
No.
Yeah.
Right? So now you can't do that. But, you know, before, there wasn't a big deal. There wasn't the whole social media thing or, you know, it was, you take yeah. pictures and you go back and show the buddies on a cell phone. Also, this is the relatively new cell phone age, right?
Yeah. Well, we have, so we have a big, on our website, we have our social media section where, like our forum that you have to be a member to join and stuff like that. And we'll post pictures and, you know, James is, our paramedic James, he has some great stories. He had a lot, we called it the lob, he names them all. Him and yeah. his partner name all their really crazy calls. Yeah. And this one was called Lobster Claw, and it was a tranny hooker who got found out by the vato that she was blowing,
Ruh-roh.
That it was a dude. And he came after the hooker with a machete and defensive wound, just cleaved the hand like right up the middle into a
lobster claw.
Huge lobster claw.
Oh, lobster claw. Yeah.
And so I was like, do you have a picture? He's like, yeah, I'll take up a picture. And so we posted it on our forum. And
yeah, you know. That's funny that you say that because, you know, we've been friends for a long time too. So there's every now and again, there's an occasion where he'll see something, he'll send it to me or I'll take a picture or send it to him. And I've compiled a file. And it's not for use for anybody else, but I told my kids,
it's your scrapbook.
The minute that these guys start driving, and I have three boys, the minute these guys start driving, guess mm-hmm. what's going to come out?
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking that file out. You're going to sit down, and you're not going to like what you're going to see, dude. Fellas, but I'll tell you what, you screw around in that car, mm-hmm. you know? That's and right. we actually talked about being the chauffeurs for each one of the kids' proms. Remember we had that conversation?
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, we're just going to rent the limo, and we'll be the drivers for you guys. And because, you know, prom night's always that night where somebody's going to get killed. In my high school, every year somebody got killed. So we're like, yeah, dude, let's get a van. We'll drive for the kids. You know, we'll just put that privacy partition up, and we'll just sit in the front seat and tell stories and laugh. And we know we're going to drive fine. We're not going to drink when we drive, right. you know, so at least we know they're safe. You know,
you might as well have it on a slideshow in the back while you're on your way.
Right, exactly. Yeah. This is what happened if you would drive.
Yeah.
I saved TC pictures
oh, yeah.
for that very reason. I wanted to show my daughter before she started driving.
100%.
And, I mean, there's some – that's it's probably the worst shit I've ever seen is usually yeah. – okay, the absolute worst stuff I've ever seen hasn't been because of TCs, but the majority of the terrible shit I've seen is traffic collisions.
I would say the worst that I've seen have been in traffic accidents.
Mm. Yeah.
No, hands down. More so than fire, more so than shootings. Because
mm-hmm.
you guys know, shootings are relatively bland. Everyone thinks they're so – you know,
there's a hole.
Like it's rare, it's rare that you
hole. There's a hole and it bleeds.
That's it, right? That's it. You know, that's it. With ITAs and I mean, it gets kind of brutal.
You bring up the whole TC thing, and I got another question.
But you notice how somebody calls it a TC and one person calls it an ITA, depending on where you are.
I've heard TA. I've heard ITA.
Yeah.
I've heard TC.
Yeah.
And the reason I was told don't ever call it a TA, call it a TC, probably because TA is an LA area
thing. Well, it's a medical term.
But also because it's never an accident. It's somebody's fucking fault.
Yeah.
True.
That's a good question.
And so he said, you call it a collision.
Yeah.
So I get on the scene of an accident. Guy's passed out on the wheel and his son is, you know, he's screaming like, oh my God, my dad, whatever. So they're up on the curb. I pull the guy out.
That's all you need to know. Oh my God, whatever.
So pull the guy out. Start giving him CPR because he's unconscious, not breathing, no pulse. And
we call that dead.
Fucking spewed black shit. I mean, like, when I say like a geyser.
Barfed it up?
Yeah. But you know how when you see a geyser, like, not shooting straight up into the sky, but like when it's boiling.
Yeah.
Right? With some force, not a lot, but yeah. some. That's what it looked like coming out of his fucking mouth.
I'd say he has a bleed.
I had never seen anything like that in my fucking life. And I was like, what the fuck? So I flip him on his side, right? Okay, cool. Out of his mouth. Here we go again. Nope. Same shit again. And I shit you not, for at least a minute, at least pumping that
and
out of
his mouth.
And
it does bother him because you're the second guest that he's asked
yes.
from the medic community, what the hell was
what
happening
the
to
it was
this
like
guy?
Some shit that you see in like an alien movie.
It's a bleed. He's got some type of lower abdominal, lower GI bleed.
Black?
Yeah.
So it's been happening. So the bleed has been...
Well, the blood, doesn't the blood turn black in the stomach?
Yeah.
Yeah. The stomach turns the blood black.
That's first
shit. Here's my next question. He fucking bled out so much internally, he passed out and then ended up dying. How the fuck do you not know your stomach's filling up with blood?
Let me ask you, did he shit himself?
I don't know.
You don't know. Did it smell like it?
No, that's the other thing. It had no smell.
Yeah. That's what happens. You bleed out. It's like a, it's a vaso, right? You bleed so much that you just kind of think about it when you, like a lot of people, when they bear down, this happens a lot of times, guys bear down and they blow bear down so bad. They blow an O-ring. They pass out on the toilet. That's probably what happened to him. He just had so much blood build up and he passed out.
Oof. All right. Well, so he really wanted to tell that story apparently when he gets back, but you guys have your own stories you have your own, like, you guys share the stories with each other because you guys are friends. Is there a one-upmanship there a little bit?
I don't think it's one-up. I think it's just, Mike, dude, you're not going to believe this one.
It's exactly how it starts. Yeah. And you get the text, dude, check this out. Or you get the call like, dude, you're not going to believe this shit. And it's the same thing. It's not a one-up. It's like, because you really can't, you can't one-up it. And you don't want to one-up it, you know, because you one-up it, it's like.
Yeah, it's got to be bad.
It's got to be bad.
Right. Eventually, if it turns into a one-upping competition, somebody's going to pull out the big guns and then the tears will happen.
Yeah.
And then
it's always funny, too. It's always funny when you get together and it's always like, it always starts like that. You're not going to believe this shit. Yeah. And we're like, all right, here we go. You know.
Well, so we say it all the time. You can't make this shit up.
Exactly.
Right. So yeah, speaking of that, we had that clipboard at work hanging on the wall, the can't make this shit up file. So we'd go on a run, like the run slip would come through the computer, the printer, and it would say, man threw wood chipper. Whoa, can't make that shit up. That'll go in the file.
That's nice. Awesome.
Man run over by bulldozer. Oh, wow, can't make that shit up. Wow. Put it in the file.
Did you go to that one?
Again, I was there when they went on it. No, you know what? That was the day before. I came in and they were talking about that. Yeah, a homeless guy was sleeping in a field. And it was brush clearance season, and the bulldozer was clearing brush and took this dude out.
Oops.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, comb the whole field for...
No, I got a buddy who hit a
dead... Well, I mean, and when there's a big chain link fence around it, you're not supposed to be in there. You're not supposed to be in there. There's a reason for it. They don't do crack and pass out.
Thinning the herd.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I got a deputy buddy that hit a dead body with his police car going to county.
That's awesome.
And he, you know, driving, and he sees this shape come up in the middle of the road out of nowhere because it's pitch black on the road to the jail. And now, boom, and he goes, what the f-? He pulls over, and it's a college kid.
Dead. Oh, my God, I killed him.
He was dead.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, no. Okay. And so all the deputies are coroners, and he looks at him. He's like, oh, no, he was dead before me. Okay, cool.
Dude, that's a movie.
He'd been
right?
run
that's
over.
A movie scene.
He'd
that's
been
totally
run over by two or three people.
Awesome.
They were smart enough to keep driving.
They were smart enough to keep driving. Then the lady who did hit him and kill him got caught because she took her fucking car to the body shop and tried to say she hit a deer.
Oh,
and they found like pieces of human hair.
That's awesome.
Body shop called the CHP and they're like, are you looking for somebody who maybe hit a person? Because we've got a grill with human remains in it.
That's wild.
Right? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, that's why the jail had a policy that you can't walk away from the jail between certain hours. The guy had sobered up. They'd released him at whatever o'clock at dark 30, and he was walking away from the jail, and boom, boom.
That's awesome.
So,
anyway. I think that happened locally. I think they arrested some gal on DUI or whatever and let her go, and she ended up missing. She got kidnapped or killed or whatever. They found her in a ditch somewhere. So, yeah, it's...
Yeah, that's another, a good policy. Don't walk away from that.
Do that.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we got in a whole conversation about, you know, do the demon stay? Do you kind of put it away? It's pretty funny. Like, him and I... We wouldn't talk for maybe, you know, 3 weeks just because life gets in the way, you know. And then all of a sudden it's the text or the call like, dude, you're not going to believe this shit. And then we end up getting in a freaking, you know, 15-minute phone conversation of, you know, once I get off my chest, you tell your buddy and it's like, okay, it's off my chest. We laugh about it. And then it goes kind of, you know, locked away. But it's,
right.
You know, once I'm just like, holy seriously?
Yeah.
What the fuck just happened? You know, it's pretty funny.
You know who you can call. And you know who you have to call.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's right. I got to call my boy.
Yes. Yes.
What was the last one?
Yeah, what was the last one that you...
Last what?
The last one where one of you guys texted the other and it was like...
Well, it's probably the story I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh
send it.
You ready?
Yep.
So,
fire it off.
So wood chippers are bad, but drain snakes can be worse.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember that.
So, you know, we've all probably had our drains clogged. You call the plumber out. They bring these drain snakes that are about... I don't know, 4 feet in diameter wide. They run on 120 volts and they spin fast and there's a lot of torque. So I was on the engine. The ambulance gets a call, unknown medical. They take off and business as usual. And Then we hear the truck go out, which has got a lot of the extrication tools. So you go, you know, traffic action. They've got the jaws alive. They got all the extrication type equipment. So the rescue asks for the truck as additional. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I wonder why. Because usually the engine goes out on stuff like that. Just like if they need help, the engine will go out. So the truck goes out, and the same thing. Same thing with Nick when he came back. This look of like, you're not going to fucking believe this. This dude, they walk into the living room of this guy's house, and they walk in the front door, and his back is to the door, and they see him like hunched over, round shoulders, like, and he's kind of like doing the like the look over his shoulder, like, hey, help me. And they walk around. Now they're looking at the front of him, and he's got
he's alive.
He's alive. He's very much alive. And they see this massive drain snake, like wrapped around his balls.
No.
Yeah.
So bear.
So this dude, well, so initially they're like, oh man, this guy got this drain snake wrapped around his balls, like snake in his drain. Well, they figure out they're in the living room. There's no drains in the living room. So looking around, they see like some big old dildos laying around on the couch. The guy's got like women's underwear on. He's wearing like a spandex pants, you know, like there's some funky shit going on here. So this guy,
apparently, fucking suit he was making out of real women too. Right. Jesus.
So whatever this dude was doing, we don't know. But the point is, like, we've all like drilled a hole and like that drill bit gets caught like on a rag,
yeah, it
or binds
up.
And it fucking, ooh, yeah. So that's what happened to this dude's balls.
What? But we're going to open a can of this, a lot of cool
this
stories
thing,
right now, by the way.
This thing, yes, caught his pants somehow, his little unitard, whatever he was wearing,
uh-huh,
and caught and just kept on going. And by the time he took his foot off of that kill switch, that inertia just kept on going.
So he castrated himself.
It caught his pants. It caught his underwear. It caught his balls. It caught his dick. It caught everything and just kept on going and going and going and finally stopped. So this dude had this death grip on this thing, trying to unroll it, but he couldn't get it any further. And he didn't want to let go because he kind of relieved some pressure. But if he let go, it was going to tighten back up again. So these guys walk around and it's like, fucking, hey, what the hell happened here? And they were afraid to go near it because his balls were so tight that they...
So it was still attached. Like, yeah. It didn't actually rip off.
No. It didn't rip anything off. It just caught his pants, caught his underwear, caught his dick, caught his balls.
So he's at the very edge of losing.
Imagine
his...
a water balloon, right? Like, and you've got a squeeze, yeah, on it. That's kind of what it looked like.
Oh, yeah.
They were afraid to go near it because they thought they were going to pop his ball sack. Fuck, and there was going to, like, whatever was going to...
I don't want his balls on my face.
Yeah.
I don't...
It was going to squirt out all over the
place.
Okay,
I'm going to... Let's play a quick game. You said it's a Roto-Rooter machine, right? A drain snake.
It's the Binford 5000 drain snake.
The Binford 5000 drain snake. And you're saying that he had a bunch of dildos laying out, and he was wearing some spandex, or had some spandex that he was going to put on?
No, they were on. They were on. Okay. With women's underwear. He had a couple pairs of like women's underwear on.
I'm going to play a game with you guys. Guess how he did it. And I think I know, just from working... I'll bet you that he's going to take one of them dildos and he was going to attach it to the drain snake.
Oh, the rotor.
And Roto-Root himself.
Yeah, I mean, strong.
He went for a test, like, to see if the drain snake was working, and that spandex caught itself up in that and whoop.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
That's probably what happened.
Guaranteed.
I would be willing to bet you.
Yeah, so this...
When you put, the cop in me says, I've got evidence over here, and I've got evidence over here, and I've got something in the middle that connects the two, and I don't know what it is. Well, dildos and a spinning device a guy who wants them to work together seems to be.
Yeah. So this dude was, sweating profusely, trying to get this thing off. He probably worked for, about 20 minutes trying to get this thing off before he had to call 911.
That's call 911, like, right away, if it's your dick and balls. It doesn't matter how it got there.
So the best thing is that, they end up cutting the drain snake, worked it off of this guy's balls, and the guy was like, oh, thanks, guys, all right, I'm good. Like, dude, you want to like go to the hospital and get that looked at? He's like, nah, I'll figure that out. And he didn't want to go to the hospital,
so he declined transport.
He declined transport. I think they may have ended up talking him into going because he, for obvious reasons, but
bro,
but he's
like, nah, it's just little shit, it just got caught.
Yeah.
Bro, last time it happened, I was fine.
Oh, I have a very similar one.
Yeah, so Steve got the hey bro.
I got the hey bro on that. Yeah.
Did you get the hey bro because you already knew he had a similar story? Or?
No, because you're not going to believe this shit.
Okay, yeah, you're not going to believe this shit, right? So we get called one night to the VA hospital. So the unit that I work on has a very specific tool to remove a very specific product around a very specific part of a male. Right.
There is a very specific tool to remove cock rings.
It's basically like a Dremel, like a small Chicago pneumatic, right? But it seems like our unit is the only one that has one that uses it. And I'm not kidding you. We have been on dozens and dozens of cock ring removals. I'm not joking, right? So we get a call, and it never comes over the tones because what happens is the hospital usually calls dispatch, and instead of going over the tones, imagine what the call would be. Like, what's the name for it? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Squad
51. A dick ring removal. You know, that's not. It's basically a phone call from dispatch going, "Hey, you know, this specific hospital is calling you because they need you guys to bring your tool."
So the guy gets to the hospital and the hospital goes, no,
correct.
we don't have the
ability to do that.
Like, shit, I could have called the fire department and had it removed in my house.
You could have done that, right? But it's easier to go to the hospital.
I'd have to tell this nurse practitioner I had a cock ring in my balls.
Well, it's kind of funny, right? So in this one. So we get to the VA and there's a guy that's probably, I don't know, probably 6'3", 260, you know, like like somebody you'd see walking down like Miami Beach in a Speedo kind of guy, you know, bald guy walking around. And so we get to the room and we're like, all right, what's going on? And we're kind of looking at each other. The curtain's closed and his wife or fiance or whatever is standing in the front, sitting in the front of the curtain. So like, this is kind of weird. So we're like, oh boy, can't wait to see what's behind door number one, right? Open the door and there's a guy and he's got this towel over himself. We're like, all right. And we're used to this. We're like, okay, let's see what's going on. Well, the guy gets the thing worked up all the way to the very base. So he gets his balls and his dick inside this cock ring. It is to the base of his penis, which is
down to the root.
Oh, it's down to the root. And
I couldn't
tube.
Keep a straight face. Dude, no way.
What made it even better was the nationality of the doctor, who was either French or Israeli. I couldn't tell the accent, but he's like, so he's got this wrapped around his penis. I fucking lost it, dude. The rest of the crew, the captain's like, dude, shut up. Get up. He's starting to giggle.
It's not my penis.
That's right. So he goes, wait, it gets better. He's like, I tried to milk the penis to try to get the blood. And I'm fucking dying, dude.
Can you stop saying penis?
Right? What? So I'm like, oh, my God. And my partner at the time is like kidding me. He's like, dude, shut up. We got to be professional. I'm like, how do you fucking be professional on this, right? So this gets way better.
Like, the doctor just jacked him off.
And he keeps saying penis. And I'm like, what? So anyway, so the guy, it's down there. Now, we have to get some type of, like, either a metal or a wood tongue suppressor to go underneath that. It's a tungsten ring.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, please put something between your tool and my penis.
Right, not only that, we have to use IV bags to cool, because when we use that tool, it starts to spark and heats up the metal, right? So there's part one of the problem.
Yeah.
Part two of the problem was, picture the ring. You have his stomach, and his dick is so engorged with blood because it's been that way for probably 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
That there's no way. I mean, you take like one of those, you know, balloon animals and squeeze it, and that's what it looks like. So we're like, how do we get this tongue depressor underneath this freaking ring? So we get the pneumatic. The sound of that thing is pretty traumatic anyways, because it sounds like
it sounds like one of them bone saws, right?
Dude, yes, yeah. It totally does, right? And it has the ability to cut skin, which is where we're going to go with this.
Right. Oh, no.
Yeah. So we're at this point, my partner at work, we switch off. We have so many of these, we switch off. We're like, all right, dude, you had the last one. I'll get this one. Which the last one that we had before this one was a guy that had 5 rings on at one time.
What now?
Five. Count it. That's 5. He had 5 metal rings on the shaft of his.
Wait, he looked like one of them African women who put the right, like, stretch their necks and shit.
So my buddy, my partner at work, counts. He cuts all 5 of them off. So he's like, yeah, I'm good for a while on turns, dude. It's your turn, right? Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So this guy's fiance, she's not really paying attention. She's got this look on her face like, what a fucking idiot. This guy's, you know, she's just kind of rolling her eyes. And so now we're in there. We get the tongue depressors underneath there. We get both sides. We get the IV fluid going. And what happened, the engineer's the guy that usually drives the fire engine or whatever we're on, is now standing in a precarious place to where once the IV solution starts dripping and that pneumatic tool starts going, where do you think that fluid's going?
Ugh.
Right? So that fluid is now going all over my engineer, and I'm looking at him, and I cannot wait to get out of here going, dude, you had dick juice all over you. you had dick juice all over you. To which we did when we got out. We're like, hey, by the way, you had dick juice all over you. Did you like it? You know, so of course, that's our humor, right?
Yeah. And he will forever be called dick juice.
Yeah, he hates when we bring up that call. He hates when we bring it up. Because anytime somebody brings it up, I always look at him, and he's like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, I'm going to say it. So anyway, so we get the ton of pressures on there, and we're going, and we're trying to cut this thing, and we're going, it's not easy because of the precarious situation, the spot that it's in, right? So now I'm going to preface this a little more. We've never been trained in EMT or paramedic school or, you know, being a fireman, how to do this. I've never been shown in a textbook how to cut a dick ring off. I don't freaking know.
What learning domain was that?
Exactly. Right? So you learn by just on-the-job training on it, right? So I'm like, okay, so I'm going. And I don't know what the liabilities are, right? I'm not really worried about it because the hospital calls
pneumatic tools cut this dude's dick off.
Yeah, the hospital asked you to do it.
So I'm thinking liabilities on them at this point, right? So mind you, the guy's dick is huge because of the
right.
Yeah, not because I was looking. Right. So we're going.
Comparatively speaking.
Right. So we're going, and I slip. And I slice the guy's dick like a hot dog on the top with the Chuck automatic.
And I all know what happens when you poke a swollen hot
dude,
dog.
Dude, but what I do is the most unprofessional thing ever. And I go, oh! and the guys I'm working with, they're like, dude, shut up. You got to be professional. I'm like, fuck, I can't be. How am I supposed to be?
Is that the dick juice that launched on your buddy?
No, that was just the fluid. But I'm like, now I'm white. I'm like, dude, I just cut this guy.
Was he numb? Like, did they?
Oh, he was totally numbed. He was completely numbed.
Does he know?
He knows, but I think he knows because I let out that shriek,
girlish.
Oh my god!
Scream.
You know, to which the captain I'm working for and the other firemen are like, dude, that was so unprofessional. I'm like, unprofessional. I just sliced a guy's. Have you ever sliced a guy's dick with a Chicago pneumatic? Because I just did, and that's traumatic, right? Anyways,
blame your reaction on the fact that you had a physician saying pinus.
Oh, and he said it about five more times after this, right?
You have sliced the pinus.
And that's where it goes. So
I have to suture your pinus.
I
have to suture his pinus, thanks to you.
That'd be more French. I don't know if this guy was super. But anyways, it relieved.
The Israeli Dezolchen. I have to suture his pinus.
There you go. That's yeah, he's good at this.
Well, it relieved the pressure enough to where the guy lets out a. I'm like, oh, really? And the doctor's like, well, honestly, if we couldn't get it off this way, that's what we were going to have to do.
You ventilated his pinus.
Right?
He's lanced it.
He's doing your job. So to the point where he goes, okay, I'm going to have to suture and move the pinus and get it. But I'm like, all right. So we leave. And now the guys are like, dude, you can't do that shit when you do something on a run. You can't let out like you did something bad. I'm like, oh, fuck off, fellas. And I'm like,
you know what? You cutting up the penis next time.
Yes. So I've told the story a million times. And then I go up on this. I was doing some instructing in this outdoor school. And I tell the story around a campfire. And my wife's next to me. And we're laughing because she's heard it a million times. And I must have told that story probably 10 times over 3 days around this campfire. And every time it's like, hey, Steve, tell this guy about the dick story. Hey, Steve, tell this guy the dick story. And I mean, every night the crowd grew about hey, tell him the dick story. Okay. And I was like,
everybody's gathering
like the
around
dick
the
king
fire.
Of Kenosha, you know? Dude, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
That's wild.
Oh, dude.
Man.
So you didn't actually have
Ladies
to cut it all the way off.
Firefighters take over.
Right? Yeah. I did actually cut it all the way
all
off.
The way
it, off. Ended up, because usually when you do it, you have to make two cuts because one is just not enough to get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're not going
to
pry it.
There's no way you're going to pry it.
That's surgical steel.
So everyone's like, we're like, dude, why don't you just go with a rubber ring? We could put a pair of scissors underneath there and snip your. So if you're going to go, moral story, listeners, if you're going to use one, use a rubber one. It's easier to get off.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm like, dude, just use
safety
a rubber
first.
One.
Safety first.
And always.
Right. Yeah. So, also, you really don't want to have firefighters cutting your pinus.
No. No.
It could end.
I haven't lived until I've seen this.
No.
I know, right?
And I was actually paranoid. I'm like, dude, am I going to get called in on this? Because I basically did
I just did surgery.
Right? I mean, if medics,
you're a fucking surgeon.
If medics mess up, you get called to the carpet and being like, hey, man, this is the run sheet. You messed up on this. And I'm like, I'm a fucking hero, dude. I'm not. I mean,
you should just start making people say MD before your name.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
FACS.
Dr. Panus.
Dr. Panus.
Paging Dr. Panus. Yeah, dude, it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we have fun screwing with the cops on scene too.
Of course you should. You better. You should.
Dead bodies. Get called to one of those. And well, there's two stories. So the cops call us out. Welfare check. Hey, we haven't seen grandma in a week, 2 weeks. Can you go check on her? Yeah, so the cops go out there and they call us. Hey, yeah, we got a dead body. So we crack a window. Whew, yeah, you can. Smells like she's dead. So we crawl in there because we got to get eyes on the body to confirm she's dead.
Crawl?
Huh? Crawl through a window.
Oh, okay.
Crawl through the window to get into the apartment. Use
that really cool Halligan.
The popo didn't do this?
No, they went sniff test. They went based on sniff test. Mm.
They're like, she's dead. We can smell it.
Yeah. So we crawl in there and turn the lights on, and it's well, that'll be the next thing. Pack rat conditions, just a house full of shit.
Stinky.
And we find this lady, and she's alive.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's alive. She had fallen off her chair. She was up against a wall, stuck, couldn't get up, and was still alive. And the smell of death was... Her legs from about her knees down were just crawling, literally crawling with maggots eating dead flesh.
So there's an amputation in her future.
Yeah, so we go, we open the door, and we have a paramedic intern who's on the ambulance. And
his job.
His job was to, hey, let's get this person on the gurney. So he goes to the legs. And
yo, guess which end of grandma you get.
Yeah, and grabbed her right behind the knees and basically sloughed off like all the skin. And so he's got hands full of like dead skin and maggots. And yeah, he exited quickly and threw up.
We had a gal, she crock-potted herself in her hot tub.
And, oh.
She got drunk in the hot tub and died.
Passed out.
Yeah. No, died.
Wow.
In the hot tub. I mean, she probably passed out before she died, right. But yeah, she full blown died.
Yeah.
Damn.
And nobody heard from her for 3 days, but the hot tub was on the whole time. Oh. So 102 degrees for 3 days.
What do you call that thing that you cook steaks with in hot water?
Right. Sous vide?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
That was called sous vide.
Yeah. And so they, you know, grabbed her arms to pull her out. And just they had her gloves in their hands.
Yep.
You know, I mean, meat's tender in a crock pot.
Oh, dude.
So we got called to another one. We were the first ones there this time. And we went in there. Well, first of all, we showed up and the screen door was just, that was moving because all the flies were just trying to get inside. They're just on the screen.
Okay, you know it's bad too. And I've seen that when the flies are like doing kamikaze runs into the window because they can smell it through the window. And they're like, let me at it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So we walk in there, got eyes on it, confirmed this one was dead.
Yeah.
Well, the cops show up, and you can smell it from the street. And, hey, guys, what do you got? Like, oh, yeah, I don't know. This is a weird one. This is suspicious. You guys should probably get in there. And well, we suited up with our SCBA and our mask and all that, so we didn't have to smell it or taste it.
Exactly.
So we tell these guys, yeah, hey, this is a weird one, man. I don't know. Like, you guys should probably get some eyes on this one. Yeah. So, yeah, they went in there, and we laughed our asses off.
With nothing but, like, Vicks on their upper
Yeah, they we laughed our asses off when they came
Vicks
out.
Vicks doesn't work it still.
Nothing.
Still
I mean, work. Nothing truly works. The best combo I've ever had working at DB is a cigar smoldering in a glass and Vicks on my upper lip because those are two strong enough smells.
Oh, dude, that, Vicks is the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It dulls it.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it takes the edge off. You're not going to vomit right away.
Talking about screwing with cops, we have this.
Yes, please do.
We have this just huge guy. He looks like a New Yorker. I think he probably is a New Yorker, but he's a fire plug. He's probably about 5'10", you know, 240. But the guy's probably, I mean, he's huge. Looks like a bodybuilder right out of like the, you know, whatever magazine. So he's a hothead too, and he hates when fire comes in and, you know, kind of manipulates his scene. So here I am. I'm like 2 years on the job, and this guy's, you know, puffy chested on an ITA trying to tell us what to do. And the captain looks at me. He's like, hey, can you get his unit number for us? And I go, yeah. I go, hey, man, what's your unit number? 2 boys 69?
Oh, dude.
It sent fuck to the roof. And I'm laughing, and all the rest of our crew is laughing. I'm like, and he doesn't know what to say. He's just, you know, ready. You see the smoke coming out. I just turn around and walk away. I mean, he could have eaten me for lunch, you know? I'm like,
but
oh,
he,
dude.
You know,
like,
he's not.
2 boys 69? He's like, what'd you say? Awesome.
I know you've used that one before.
I have used it. I learned from probably one of the, you know, one of the senior guys how to.
Now, do you guys get, I mean, obviously you fuck with the young guys, but do you get, because we would do this, you know, we'd have a trainee and we'd get on a call with fire and be like, hey, you know, you need to give him some shit. Like, we need to have the fire guys tease the newbie and give him really terrible things to do because, you know, you got to pay your dues.
Yeah, we had one of those just recently. You guys do a lot. We are.
Honestly, I can't really think of any, to be honest with you. I mean, there's probably some, I'm an officer, so I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Yes.
So when it does happen, I kind of walk away.
We had a newer.
Dude, your dog's going to break her tail open.
We had a newer paramedic the other day. We had an ITA where the guy was, he was clearly drunk, open container in the car. And he didn't know that, you know, usually you're supposed to keep the container in the car because it places it in the vehicle. So when you guys write the report, it's placing the bottle.
It was still
in the vehicle. Well, yeah. Paramedic comes and he just takes it, happens to just put it on the roof, right? So two shifts later, guy comes over and the cop comes over and he goes, hey, man, he goes, look, do you guys know who moved the bottle on the last ITA we had? He's like, no big deal. It's not a big deal. I need to place where that bottle was. So the guys are like, yeah, the guy's name's Ryan that moved it. And they're like, he works at another station. He works at station 3, to which the light bulb goes, bing. They're like, hey, can you do us a favor? He's like, yeah. He's like, can you fuck with them? And the cop's like, oh, dude, I'm in. What are we doing, you know? So he goes over to station 3 and goes, hey, I need to talk to Ryan. He's his name, sorry.
We'll bleep it.
Yeah, bleep that. Thank you. He goes,
you're
hey,
not live.
Thank you. Oh, perfect. He goes, hey, can I talk to the paramedic? And he's like, yeah, what do you need? He's like, look, I'm trying to place this bottle on the roof because we have a double homicide on this ITA you're on. He's like, double homicide? He goes, I thought it was I. He's like, yeah, we've got your fingerprints on this bottle, on this double homicide, and we want to know why we have your fingerprints on this bottle. He's like, why would I not have my gloves on? Now he's second-guessing himself, right, and the cop's kind of getting him worked up. He's like, we just need to know where it is because if we can't place it, it goes to you to go to court as to where why you removed the bottle and why your fingerprints are on this bottle on a double homicide, right?
Yes.
And the medic's like, fuck, dude, I don't know. What do I like, so, and meanwhile, our station is you know, they've got to be laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God, that's awesome. So anyways, they end up leaving them off. They let them off.
Yeah, yeah, eventually.
Like, look, those guys told us to just come fuck with you. He's like, oh, man, I thought I was in some serious trouble, you know. But shit like that, of course you're going
to
give you
we you know, I've got thought of one. So we got a guy who moved to Texas, and I don't know the name of the Texas, but it's some place we've probably never heard of, but he moved there and he lives there, and he, you know, he came in and he was telling us about how he's doing all this work at his house and, you know, construction and all, permitting's a bitch, so I'm just going to do some work and not worry about permitting. So this okay. dude happens to come to the station, who is a cop from that town, and well, he came by because he was in town and he wanted a patch or a t-shirt or something.
Right.
And he comes in. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm from whatever. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we got a guy that lives there. Oh, yeah, I'm a cop there. Really?
Really?
Really? All right. Well, do you have, like a badge, any sort of ID or anything like that? Yeah, I got all my shit with me. Perfect. Hey, we got a guy that lives in your town.
You want a t-shirt?
Here's yeah, how yeah. Here's how you're going to earn a t-shirt.
You're going to earn this.
We got a guy that lives in your town. Let's come up with something and tell him that you're here to interview him. So firefighter, whatever, come to the front office. And this dude's sitting there. He's got his cop face on. He's got his, like, mad cop face on.
Right.
And, yeah, he probably kept him on the hook for about 15 minutes.
That's awesome. You know,
and, yeah, this dude was pretty shaking in his boots.
That's fantastic.
The best thing was he wasn't a rookie. He was a seasoned guy, too, so.
There's a level of, like, you have to be allowed into the club. You have to go through the gauntlet. And I we've given people to the fire guys and said, okay, just give him the worst possible job at this gory, horrific
totally.
Scene you possibly can.
Absolutely.
But,
well, they're the ones that go in and do the official determination of death on the stinky ones. Hey, kid, go in there and.
Yeah, for sure.
Make sure dead's
touch
dead.
Touch him. Yeah. Make sure he's dead. He doesn't have a head. You gotta check.
You gotta check. I think the reputation or between, you know, the cops and firemen. I think the demeanor and the relationship. I think it's awesome.
I love it.
It is.
You know, everyone says there's got to be this animosity.
No,
there.
Yes, especially now. I think now it's
totally.
We joke, but it's just like the military.
Right.
Right. There are rivalries in the military that are, you know, they will make fun of each other, but they still love each other. They're all, you know, part of the same family.
Totally.
And I, you know, we always say we're not on the same team. We're all on the same side.
Right.
And right. So you guys, you know, fire guys, one of the funniest things we had was a picture of a cop who had taken the one of the roadwork signs and put it up in front of the fire station.
I saw
the radar trailer, and it said, you know, quiet firefighters
sleeping. Yeah. I said that to you. Remember I said that? I sent you that meme. Yeah, it was. I thought that was so clever. I was rolling on that. I'm like, that boom. Cops won, firemen nothing. Right?
And then what was the one we had?
We rolled a sign. A cop car pulled in front of like the ambulance bay. And there's a metal sign and like a bucket of cement, you know, ambulance parking. So we like put that right in front of their car.
I put stickers on their car. We have these junior firefighter badges. So anytime we were on, you know, call, just kind of take one out of your pocket,
police officer,
slap it on there. To which I've done the same thing to. We have a buddy of ours who is at the time he was a medic. And they never come into our city. And if they do, it's just in passing, right? So I saw him at the hospital. I had never seen him on a run. So I see him at the hospital. He's like, hey, what's up? And at the time, we were kind of on the outs of our friendship, you know, just whatever, moving on.
Yeah.
Well, they're inside the hospital, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go back and see if their rig's open at the front of the hospital. And the back doors were open, and I'm like, dude, fair game. 100 stickers. Clock everything. There's just junior firefighter stickers all over. Dude, I used mine. You know, anybody that, hey, you got your stickers? Let me borrow your stickers. Hey, you got your stickers?
Exactly.
We plastered the back of this thing. To which I get the text later on. He's like, thanks, asshole. So I'm like,
right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well done. Yeah.
So this dude's. We were down at the. It was some repair shop where they fixed the fire engines, and I was there with my engine, and I look over and. Oh, we need to bleep that out too, buddy.
Yeah, we need to bleep that.
Thank you.
I look over and I see.
I'll put the.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I look over and I see it's his rig. I go, oh, perfect. So in every compartment, it was, you know, because, you know, Steve's a musclehead. He works out, you know, so the, you know, all the supplement stuff. It was just stickers about, oh, I love
muscle
milk. I love myself. Creatine. Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty.
So then when they went and picked up the rig, it was full of. Barrett, he loves himself.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I didn't even really even think about fucking with you guys. Like, you guys have helped me out personally so many times. Like, I never even thought.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I fuck with my own.
Yeah.
And fuck with other PDs.
Of course.
But I've never fucked with fire. Oh, but I've also never been fucked with.
Well, but I think we have a way better sense of humor about things.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of tight sometimes.
So,
but hey, whatever.
There's a lot more tightwad cops than there are tightwad firefighters,
sure.
I think, for sure. But yes. I'll tell you, some of the rivalry, because I always make the joke, and I'm not the first one, but I said I want to put through legislation in the state of California that has firefighters officially have their titles changed to evidence destruction technician.
Oh, we are. Yeah,
I got a story for you.
We're going to have to save that for part two.
Okay.
But we'll think about that because we're out of time.
Involves a train.
But evidence destruction technicians, because of some of the shit you guys have to do. And I get it. But there's one call that sticks out, and you guys can tell me as firefighters if me losing my shit and when I heard this story and finding out that it went to like the level of the chiefs fighting it out over this was warranted. And it's not funny. It was a 14-year-old kid who had killed himself in his backyard, hung himself.
Yeah.
The fire captain was on scene before PD could set up a crime scene, but the kid was naked. So he cut the fucking kid down and covered him with a dirty blanket he had found in the yard to help the family and ease the family's, you know.
It's a tough one because there's procedure in there on both sides, you know.
Yeah.
There's procedure on that, you know what I mean?
Right.
You guys have procedure, we have procedure, right? So for us, you have to cut them down because our medics have to do cause of determination of death in the field.
You know, well, I mean? You can check his pulse while he's hanging.
Well, You don't have to. That's only one of the ways we do it.
Right.
You have to hook them up to monitor. You have to make sure they have, you know, zero apical pulse. You have to check their pulse for a minute. You have to put them on a monitor, make sure that he's asystole.
Yeah, but I don't. They didn't do any of that.
He was
DRT.
Right.
And he was obviously DRT. Sure. He cut him down specifically to be nice.
Sure.
Yeah. So as many stories as we tell and as much as we laugh about this stuff, like there's that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your 14-year-old dangling from a rope who's
right.
dead. Like,
exactly.
You kind of, like for me, I kind of like would want to help that family out
right.
and
sure.
get that side out of their mind, you know, like.
I don't disagree with your point of view.
Yeah.
My only issue is you got to understand that we still have to make sure it's not a fucking homicide.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, and yeah, there was another case in that. Yeah. The cops, this is a similar thing. This little child was kidnapped and killed, and the investigation got all botched because they used the comforter on the bed to cover the body. And
right.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, well, I think we're out of time for part one, and we're going to have you guys hang out for part two. But I wanted to also, last in closing, say a big heads up to Cole. I love getting some of these messages, and Cole sent us a message that says, "Great podcast, guys. You've really helped me open my eyes. I joined the New Hampshire National Guard, and I leave for basic in a month. 11 Bravo. Keep up the good work."
No, good for him.
So I like getting, you know, people say, like, because I was a shithead growing up and I changed my opinions about cops and firemen. Well, nobody had to change opinions about firemen.
Mm-hmm. You
universally
know.
Loved all over the world.
We probably just did that ourselves.
It's just only because we took the right test.
You know, it's nice to hear that there are still people out there that are willing, especially the way people are being treated nowadays.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody right now.
No, not for a while. Mm-hmm. Not for a big while. But if you want to do it, we'll tell you how to navigate it. You know,
so just don't do it.
Just don't. Go be fireman.
There you go.
Go be a fireman. Anyway, do you have anything?
No.
No? Nothing today? No. Okay. People can still send us messages. Go like, subscribe, you know, do the auto downloads. Find us on all the social medias. You feel free to send us questions, messages, whatever. We're at almost 300,000 downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm floored.
Oh, you know what? I got one. But yeah. You're going to have to listen to part two. But okay. We're going to do a giveaway.
Oh,
it nice. Has to do with our new merchandise.
Oh, okay. So. Well, all right. So if you guys don't have anything for part one, we'll see you in part two.
See you in part two.
Sounds good.
Well, until our next episode, come home with your shield or own it.